Chapter 2. Springtime. The year 868. I was 11 years old, and the Wind Viper was afloat. She was afloat, but not at sea. The Wind Viper was Ragnar's ship, a lovely thing with a hull of oak, a carved serpent's head at the prow, an eagle's head at the stern, and a triangular wind vane made of bronze on which a raven was painted black. The wind vane was mounted at her masthead, though the mast was now lowered and being supported by two timber crutches so that it ran like a rafter down the centre of the long ship. Ragnar's men were rowing, and their painted shields lined the ship's sides. They chanted as they rowed, pounding out the tale of how mighty Thor had fished for the dread Midgard serpent that lies coiled about the roots of the world, and how the serpent had taken the hook baited with an ox's head, and how the giant Hymir, terrified of the vast snake, had cut the line. It is a good tale, and its rhythms took us up the River Trent, which is a tributary of the Humber and flows from deep inside Mercia. We were going south, against the current, but the journey was easy, the ride placid, the sun warm, and the river's margins thick with flowers. Some men rode horses, keeping pace with us on the eastern bank, while behind us was a fleet of beast-proud ships. This was the army of Ivar the Boneless and Ubba the Horrible, a host of Northmen, sword Danes, going to war. All eastern Northumbria belonged to them. Western Northumbria offered grudging allegiance, and now they planned to take Mercia, which was the kingdom at England's heartland. The Mercian territory stretched south to the River Thames, where the lands of Wessex began, west to the mountainous country where the Welsh tribes lived, and east to the farms and marshes of East Anglia. Mercia, though not as wealthy as Wessex, was much richer than Northumbria, and the River Trent ran into the kingdom's heart, and the Wind Viper was the tip of a Danish spear aimed at that heart. The river was not deep, but Ragnar boasted that the Wind Viper could float on a puddle, and that was almost true. From a distance, she looked long, lean, and knife-like, but when you were aboard, you could see how the midships flared outward so that she sat on the water like a shallow bowl rather than cut through it like a blade. And even with her belly laden with 40 or 50 men, their weapons, shields, food, and ale, she needed very little depth. Once in a while, her long keel would scrape on gravel, but by keeping to the outside of the river's sweeping bends, we were able to stay in sufficient water. That was why the mast had been lowered, so that on the outside of the river's curves, we could slide under the overhanging trees without becoming entangled.